A path not taken in the ashen roads, the silence of Blackstone night fell over the ravaged streets of Evria's underbelly, a perpetual shroud cast by the city's desperation. I stepped out of the winding alleys and into the main thoroughfare, my feet echoing off the dark stone buildings. My path was clear, to meet with Kaelvarn in the seedy Blackstone Tavern, where only whispers held sway. A patron of the ashen roads, Kael walked where armies couldn't not in the sense that he strode unimpeded through war-torn landscapes, but that he navigated the unseen terrain of hearts and secrets. His specialty was subtle correction, a whisper here, a silent disappearance there. I'd seen it with my own eyes. The man could walk into the very darkness of a person's soul, leaving behind only the faintest hint of his passing. I pushed open the creaking door, letting out the chill night air and slipping into the warm murk within. The patrons barely looked up from their cups and dice games as I made my way to Kael's usual table in the corner. A hood cast a shadow over his face as he nursed a mug of cheap ale. "Kael," I said, sliding into the chair opposite him. He raised his eyes to me, the flickering torchlight casting an eerie glow on his weathered features. "Lysander, what brings you here tonight?" "I need a name," I said, getting straight to it. My words were laced with a hint of desperation, which he picked up on instantly. "A name?" Kael's tone was measured, but the faintest glimmer of curiosity danced in his eyes. "For whom?" "House Phelan. Someone who betrayed them years ago. I've been trying to uncover their identity, but every lead ends in a dead end." The tavern's patrons began to disperse as the night wore on, but Kael and I were lost in our conversation. He leaned back in his chair, steepling his fingers as he considered my request. "You know what you're asking for," he said finally. "Subtle correction doesn't come cheap, Lysander." "I'm willing to pay the price," I replied, meeting his gaze. He nodded once, a slow smile spreading across his face. "I can find out who you seek, but it'll cost you memory just enough to make it difficult to recall certain details." A cold shiver ran down my spine as he spoke, the weight of his words settling heavy on me. I knew what that meant. Each use of his gift would leave a scar in my mind, erasing fragments of my past. But I had no choice. Vengeance burned within me like a fire. The night wore on, the air thickening with an almost palpable tension as Kael leaned forward, his voice dropping to a whisper. "I'll find your name," he said, "but you must promise me one thing. When the truth is revealed, let it be. No matter how great the pain, no matter who's responsible, let justice run its course." I hesitated for an instant before nodding, and that was all Kael needed. With a whispered word, our glasses rose in a silent toast, a toast to justice, to vengeance, and to the silence that would soon be broken. I left Blackstone that night with a name etched in my mind, a name that burned brighter than any candle flame. But it was not the one I'd expected. Not by far. The identity of the traitor within House Valen's walls shook me to my core, but Kael's price would be exacted nonetheless. I stepped out of Blackstone, the cool night air stinging my face as I felt a weight settle within me. The name that had taken residence in my mind was one I'd never expected to see again, Lyrian Farron. A name whispered in dark corners and forgotten corridors, the same name that had been mentioned in passing by those who claimed they were loyal to House Valen, but their words carried a hint of unease. I navigated the narrow streets, my mind reeling with questions and doubts. Had Lyrian truly betrayed House Valen, or was this some twisted game? And what did Kael's involvement mean? A man who walked in shadows and whispered secrets to those willing to pay his price? My feet carried me on autopilot, driven by the fire of vengeance that had been building within me for years. I knew I'd do whatever it took to uncover the truth. The darkness seemed to press in around me as I walked, a living entity that sought to consume me whole. I pushed aside the morass of thoughts and concentrated on the task at hand, finding Lyrian Farron. The streets of Evria were treacherous, especially for someone with my reputation, a reputation built on violence and desperation. but I had a name now, and with it, a glimmer of hope. I slowed my pace as I approached the seedy part of town, where the buildings seemed to lean in, as if sharing secrets among themselves. The air reeked of smoke and desperation. I weaved through the crowded alleys, avoiding the grasping hands of beggars and thieves. My eyes scanned the faces that flashed by each one a potential suspect, or so my mind kept telling me. In a particularly narrow alleyway, I spotted a familiar figure, Erinvax, Lyrene's sister. She was known for her sharp tongue and quicker blade. We'd crossed paths before, but never on such precarious terms. A flicker of unease danced within me as I approached her, the shadows casting an ominous glow across her features. "Erin," I said, my voice low to avoid drawing attention. "I need to talk to you." She turned, a calculating glint in her eye, and for an instant, our gazes locked. A moment too long, or perhaps not enough. She vanished into the night before I could even react, leaving me standing alone in the alleyway, surrounded by the echoes of Everia's desperation. I cursed under my breath as I pursued Erin through the winding alleys, but she remained one step ahead, always disappearing when I thought I had her cornered. The night wore on, with no sign of Lyrene or his sister. My frustration and anger simmered, threatening to boil over at any moment. A gust of wind howled down the alley, extinguishing the torches that lined the walls. I was plunged into darkness, surrounded by nothing but shadows. For an instant, I froze, my senses on high alert. Then, the flickering flames reignited, and I saw Erin standing before me, a small knife glinting in her hand. "You're a hard man to find, Lysander," she said, her voice dripping with malice. "I never thought you'd be foolish enough to follow me into these alleys." I tensed, my fists clenching at my sides. We both knew that knives were not the only tool for this conversation in Everia's underbelly. Words often carried more weight than steel. The darkness seemed to thicken as Erin raised her knife, its point dancing with an air of menace in the flickering torchlight. I could feel the weight of my own tools at my belt, a familiarity that calmed the turmoil within me. My hand instinctively drifted toward the hilt of my sword, but I hesitated for now. Words were our preferred currency here. "You've been looking for me," Erin said, her voice dripping with curiosity. "What do you want, Lysander?" The air was heavy with tension as we sized each other up, two predators in the underbelly of Everia. I took a slow step forward, hands spread wide to show my empty palms. "I'm searching for Lyrene Farron," I said, keeping my tone level. Erin's grip on the knife faltered for an instant, her eyes flashing with surprise before she regained control. "You know him?" The wind died down, leaving an oppressive stillness in its wake, the kind that precedes a storm. Erin's gaze narrowed, a calculating glint reappearing in her eye. "What business do you have with Lyrene?" Her voice was as smooth as silk, but I knew better than to be fooled by its surface. Beneath it, the sharp edge of a blade waited ready to strike at any moment. "I'll get around to telling you," I said, my voice firm, "once I know where he is." Erin's grip on the knife tightened as she took a step back, the shadows swallowing her whole. For an instant, our gazes locked in a silent understanding. This was not going to end well. The air seemed to vibrate with unspoken threats as we stood there, two dancers paused at the edge of a precipice. Then, without warning, Erin vanished, melting into the darkness like a specter. I cursed under my breath, but I knew better than to give chase in these alleys. My eyes scanned the shadows for any sign of her, but she was gone. The absence left me feeling exposed, and I glanced around cautiously, my hand drifting toward my sword hilt once more. The darkness seemed to press in closer, as if sensing my unease. I knew then that I'd be walking out of these alleys with less than nothing, no leads, no information, and a lingering sense of unease that had me scanning the shadows for any sign of Erin's return. The narrow streets seemed to unfold before me like a twisted labyrinth as I navigated back toward the main thoroughfares. My feet carried me on autopilot, driven by habit more than purpose. I needed to think and plan my next move carefully, lest I find myself walking into another trap set by Aaron or, worse still, Lyrene himself. As I turned a corner, the sounds of the city's nightlife washed over me, laughter, music, and the murmur of haggling merchants. My gaze drifted toward the towering spires of the city watch, a familiar landmark in the dark expanse. For an instant, my thoughts strayed to Kale, the subtle weaver of fate who'd given me this name. What secrets had he uncovered in those hidden recesses of his mind? And what would I do when I finally laid eyes on Lyrene Farron? The streets were alive with people, their faces a blur as I wove through the crowds, my mind consumed by the pursuit of Lyrene Farron. I knew I couldn't keep following dead ends, but the name had grown like a thorn in my side, an itch that needed scratching. My gaze drifted to the city watch, the emblem of Avaria's law, and for a moment, I considered seeking their aid. But Kale's words echoed in my mind, "The Black Rose Order is not one to be trifled with. We have arrangements." Arrangements, he'd said, as if there were some understanding between the Order and the Watch that didn't involve me. I continued on, leaving the city watch behind, the spires dwindling into the darkness. The night air clung to my skin like a damp shroud, heavy with secrets. I navigated through the winding alleys, each one leading me further from the safety of the main streets and closer to the edge of town. A chill crept up my spine as I recalled Kale's words, "In the Ashen Roads, allegiances are forged in fire and blood." His enigmatic tone still lingered in my mind, a puzzle I couldn't quite solve. I turned down another narrow alleyway, the buildings looming above me like sentinels. The air grew thick with the stench of decay, and for an instant, I thought I saw a figure slipping into a doorway. My hand instinctively went to my sword hilt, but the figure vanished before I could act. A curse slipped my lips as I approached the door, the wooden plank creaking beneath my boot. I pressed against it, peering inside the dimly lit room. A figure sat at a small table in the center of the space, hood thrown back to reveal a messy tangle of dark hair and a face that seemed chiseled from the very stone of the city's underbelly. His eyes locked onto mine, a flicker of recognition sparking within them before he masked it with a mask of indifference. It was Merrick, one of Lyrene's closest associates, and I knew he wasn't in Avaria by accident. I leaned against the doorframe, my hand resting on the hilt of my sword as I assessed Merrick's demeanor. He seemed off, his usual air of confidence replaced by a guardedness that put me on edge. Our gazes met for an instant, and I thought I saw a flicker of unease in his eyes before he looked away. I pushed off the doorframe, entering the room with a measured step. Merrick's gaze rose to meet mine again as I approached the table, my boots scraping against the stone floor. He leaned back in his chair, a calculated smile playing on his lips, but it didn't quite reach his eyes. I could see the faintest tremble in his hand as he gripped the cup before him, and my curiosity piqued. What had brought Merrick to this dingy little tavern on the outskirts of town? He was too high-ranking an associate for a place like this unless it was all a ruse. I took a seat across from him, my eyes scanning the room with a practiced air as I let the door creak shut behind me. The patrons here were the kind that didn't ask questions, or perhaps they simply didn't care enough to notice. I leaned forward, my elbows braced on the table, and locked my gaze onto Merrick's. "You know why I'm here," I stated, cutting through any pretenses. Merrick's smile never wavered, but his eyes flickered toward the door before returning to mine. He set his cup down with a deliberate slowness, his voice measured when he spoke. "I think you're looking for Lyrene Farron." The words hung in the air like an accusation, as if I'd somehow betrayed myself by speaking them aloud. My eyes narrowed, weighing Merrick's tone for any sign of deception. He seemed uncertain, a sensation that didn't quite compute with someone who'd been Lyrene's right-hand man. I leaned back in my chair, steepling my fingers as I weighed the situation. This wasn't the confrontation I'd anticipated, and something about Merrick's words sent a ripple through my gut. Was he here to stall me? To lead me deeper into this web of intrigue? Or was there more at play, some hidden dynamic within the Black Rose Order that I couldn't quite grasp? The question swirled in my mind as I studied Merrick, searching for any sign of where his loyalties lay. I studied Merrick's eyes, searching for a glimmer of deception, but they seemed as empty as the cup in front of him. He'd always been a master of hiding his true intentions behind a mask of charm and confidence, but tonight he seemed different. I leaned forward again, my voice low and even. "What do you know about Lyrene's whereabouts?" Merrick's gaze drifted to the shadows on the walls as if searching for an escape from our conversation. He fidgeted with his cup, his movements economical but not quite controlled. For a moment, I thought he'd spill something, anything just to break the tension. But then he looked up at me, his eyes locking onto mine with a glint of calculation. "Lyrene's involved in some dealings that require his presence elsewhere," he said finally. I raised an eyebrow, intrigued despite myself. Elsewhere was a safe word, one Lyrene used when he wanted to keep the specifics of his schemes hidden from prying ears. I leaned back in my chair, steepling my fingers once more as I weighed Merrick's words. He seemed hesitant, but not quite lying. Yet there had to be more, else why was he here, alone and in such a seedy tavern? "Tell me more," I pressed, my eyes never leaving his. Merrick glanced at the door again, as if checking for an invisible audience before speaking in a lower tone. "I don't know the details of what he's involved in, but I do know it's not something to be taken lightly." His words were laced with a warning, one that sent a shiver down my spine. The way he said it made me think of Erin and her hasty departure, a signal that I was getting close to something that didn't want to be found. The air in the room seemed to thicken, heavy with unspoken meaning, as Merrick's gaze locked onto mine once more. He leaned forward, his voice taking on a conspiratorial tone. "You should leave this be, Riven. Lyrene Farron is not a man you want to cross." The way he said my name sent a jolt through me, an awareness that I'd never liked the sound of it coming from anyone's lips but Kale's. I narrowed my eyes, searching for any sign of desperation in Merrick's voice, but his composure remained intact. "What's he gotten himself into this time?" I asked, trying to keep the conversation light despite the growing sense that something was off. Merrick's gaze drifted back to the cup in front of him, his fingers drumming a slow pattern against the ceramic. "I don't know," he said finally, the words hanging between us like an unspoken truth. "But I do know it's not just him. There are others involved, people you wouldn't want to cross either." He glanced up at me, his eyes searching for something in mine. The weight of his words settled heavy on my shoulders, a tangible presence that made the air feel thick and oppressive. I leaned forward once more, my elbows bracing against the table as I tried to read between the lines. "Others?" I repeated, the word barely above a whisper. Merrick's gaze flickered, and for an instant, I thought I saw a glimmer of something, fear, perhaps, or anxiety. He pushed off from the table, his movements economical as he stood up, and I followed suit, my hand resting on the hilt of my sword in case things turned sour. The tavern's patrons seemed to sense the shift in the air, their conversations dying down as they watched us with an unspoken awareness. Merrick's eyes locked onto mine, a spark of something akin to pleading in them before he looked away. "I need to show you something," he said finally, his voice low and rough around the edges. "Follow me." Merrick led me through the winding streets of Everia, our footsteps echoing off the stone buildings as we navigated the narrow alleys with a practiced ease that spoke of familiarity. We walked in silence, the only sound being the soft crunch of gravel beneath our feet. I kept my hand resting on the hilt of my sword, my eyes scanning the surrounding rooftops and windows for any sign of movement or hidden threats. As we turned a corner, Merrick quickened his pace, glancing over his shoulder as if ensuring we were not being followed. The flickering torches lining the streets cast eerie shadows on the walls, making it seem as though the very night itself was alive and watching us. I fell into step beside him, my senses on high alert for any sign of danger or hidden traps. We stopped before a nondescript door tucked away in a recessed corner of the alley. Merrick produced a small key from his belt pouch and unlocked the door with a soft click, pushing it open to reveal a narrow stairway leading down into darkness. The air emanating from below was stale and musty, heavy with the scent of decay and neglect. "After you," he said, gesturing for me to lead the way. I descended the stairs, my eyes adjusting slowly to the dim light at the bottom. We found ourselves in a cramped, poorly ventilated room filled with dusty shelves and crates stacked haphazardly against the walls. The air was thick with the smell of old books and forgotten knowledge. Merrick lit a lantern on a nearby shelf, casting flickering shadows around the room as he spoke, his voice low and measured. "This is a safe house, one of our order's hidden places." I moved closer to him, my eyes scanning the shelves for any sign of lying or evidence of what Merrick might be leading me into. The silence was oppressive, heavy with unspoken meaning as I waited for him to continue.